Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. As I mentioned in the first half of this episode, we are looking this week at the lectionary texts assigned for the week of August 7th, 2016. And if you've joined us before, I'm so happy that you're coming again. And if this is your first time, I'll give you a little background. We look at the lectionary texts assigned for each week. And lectionary texts are the assigned readings that are assigned to the church year. So many churches read the lectionary texts assigned for that week. And those texts are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. This episode itself is split into two parts. We did the first part already on the Old Testament texts. And in this second part, we'll be talking about the New Testament reading for this week from Hebrews 11 and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. In the first half of this episode, I spoke of how the texts were about waiting and patience, but especially how they were about how to wait actively rather than passively. Our relationship with God calls us to go out into the world and do God's work in the world. So we continue to do that work no matter what else is going on, no matter if we feel like we've been waiting for the fulfillment of promises or the answer to prayer or all of those things that can try our patience or try our faith. We wait actively rather than patiently, actively rather than passively. And that's because our relationship with God, like I said, calls us to do that, to go out into the world and do that work in the world, even if we feel like we've been waiting too long for the fulfillment of promises. As we've discussed before, God's timing is not always our timing. So rather than being impatient and annoyed and waiting passively, which actually is completely understandable in a lot of situations, we are actually called to be we're called to be in active relationship with God, doing God's work, engaging in continued dialogue with God, even while we're waiting, even while we might be frustrated with the length of time we feel like we've already been waiting. And today's texts, I think, continue those themes and ideas. So we're going to talk more about those ideas, the idea of waiting, the idea of God's timing, the idea of active waiting versus passive waiting. And I'm excited to get started with you today. But first, we are going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from Hebrews chapter 11.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text that we'll be discussing for this week is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And again, this is the text this week from Hebrews chapter 11. That was verses 1 through 3 and 18, or I'm sorry, 8 through 16. And this week, we've actually moved away, as you see, we're in Hebrews now. We've moved away from the text that we have been reading for the past few weeks from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As I said, we've been there for the past 3 weeks, and there is one more chapter in that letter, but it really is just conclusion and farewell. So if you're wanting some closure on Colossians, you can go back and read that farewell and conclusion in chapter 4. Paul wraps up and reiterates the points that he had been making about having a firm foundation in Christ and continuing to grow in God's word. So he doesn't really introduce anything new. It's more of just, like I said, wrapping up and reiterating. So again, if you feel like you missed something, you can always go back and read chapter 4 from the book of Colossians. But this week, the New Testament lesson moves us to the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is an interesting book because it's been described as explaining the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, or between the older covenants and the newer covenants. According to one article that I was reading this week, the book of Hebrews provides a key to unlocking challenging questions about the story of God, in which God works for centuries in and through a special covenant people, starting with Abraham, but then does something entirely new in Jesus. It is not that the terms of a relationship with God have changed, which always was and always will be faith based on grace. But the scope of God's grace now expands to the whole world with the atonement in Jesus. So that's a really, I think, a lovely way of looking at this book of Hebrews, of describing in a brief and simple way what this book is about. It's a bridge between the Old Testament and the New, the old covenants and the new. It doesn't negate either the Old Testament or the older covenants. It simply shows how God's relationship is growing and changing, growing from that covenant that he had with Abraham and Abraham's descendants, but then creating something entirely new with Jesus and with those promises. And the book of Hebrews also warns believers about falling away from the faith and challenges them to persevere in difficult circumstances, remaining faithful to the new covenant. So Hebrews 11 then is a stunning description, according to this article, of how faith and hope across the ages have been the distinguishing characteristics of God's people, beginning with Abraham. And that's where we see that first sentence in this chapter. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see, which is a slightly different translation than what we read. That's what Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says. This is what the ancients were commended for. The followers of Jesus have, in his sacrifice, the power to overcome sin and to persevere. So this is a brief, again, introduction to the book of Hebrews, giving you an idea of what this book is about, how it bridges the old covenants and the new. And we can certainly see this connection between Old Testament and New Testament with this week's reading from chapter 11, because it does, you know, obviously it references the covenant made with Abraham, something that we talked about in the first half of this episode, and something that we've been talking about actually for the past couple of weeks as we've been reading different parts of Genesis, talking about God's covenant with Abraham. And we did talk about that covenant that God made in the first half of the episode about Abraham's descendants. And Hebrews then expands on that discussion with the verse saying, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Because Abraham certainly had hope and conviction in things and promises that he could not see, that he was simply hoping for. Because remember, Abraham was promised heirs and descendants that were more numerous than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. And yet, he was already very old, and Sarah had already proven to be barren. Unfortunately, they weren't able to have children, and yet he'd been given this promise, and so he had faith in things that he couldn't see. He had hope for things to come, that God's promises would be made would be brought to fulfillment. And Hebrews then can best be read as an extended exhortation to a community, to the community, the Hebrew community, tempted to disperse because of difficult times. So difficult times had arrived in this community, and you know, you can always understand when people get frustrated, when things get difficult, and they maybe want to give up. Difficult times had arrived, and they had not yet received their promised fulfillment. So notice the references to Abraham and his faith. Faith is a very prevalent theme in these verses, and there's a repeated reference to the patience of Abraham and his descendants, who, although they did not live to see the fulfillment of the promises God made to Abraham, still had faith and still believed. They were still waiting in the faith that they had in God. So the author of Hebrews then uses Abraham and his descendants as an example as he seeks to inspire and encourage a failing and probably, maybe not failing, but flailing, and probably frustrated community. So this community is having difficult times, and the author of Hebrews is trying to encourage them by saying, look at Abraham, look at the faith that he had, even though he never saw the fulfillment of the promise, even though the generations beyond him didn't see the fulfillment of that promise, and yet they stood firm in their faith. So to live with the assurance of things hoped for is to continue to steward the promise entrusted to the people of God over many generations. One of the commentaries that I read this week on this text was from Eric Heen, who is the John H.P. Ruman Professor in Biblical Studies at the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia, which is in Philadelphia, of course. And Professor Heen writes that the community to whom Hebrews was written had undergone great hardship, including public ridicule, confiscation of property, and imprisonment. Because of the pressures put upon the community, some had apostatized, others avoided worship. Still others were weary of the suffering and disheartened by the delay in the coming of the Lord that would confirm their belief, a belief that came at great cost. Into this situation, he says, Hebrews comes as a word of exhortation. As exhortation, Hebrews contains both words of A, admonishment against thinking of the land that they had left behind to become followers of Christ, as well as B, encouragement, often in that order. So from Professor Heen's commentary, you can see a lot of what we had reiterated a few minutes ago, that the community was struggling. And, you know, they had undergone great hardship. Professor Heen writes of public ridicule, confiscation of property, imprisonment. You can understand that many people might have been frustrated, might have been feeling like the promises were not going to be fulfilled, and maybe they didn't want to have faith anymore. So it's understandable then, in this context, why the author of Hebrews, again, looks to Sarah and Abraham as examples. And we're going to talk more about this, but we do now have to take a quick break. So we'll look more at Hebrews and the promises of Sarah and Abraham and the Old and New Testaments, the Old and New Covenants, when we come back. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the book of Hebrews, this 11th chapter, and how the community had been struggling. And so the author of Hebrews had been looking at Abraham and Sarah and their patience and their faith during their own time of waiting, their own time of having to be patient for God's promises. And so it's understandable why the author, as I said, looked to Genesis, looked to Sarah and Abraham as examples. Because many of the earliest church communities actually did expect Christ to return during their lifetimes. You know, Jesus said, "I will come again, I will come back." And so many of those early church communities expected it to be sooner rather than later. So when Jesus failed to come back in a timely manner, they became discouraged and impatient. And you can imagine if they are having all of these difficulties as outlined before the break that the Hebrews community was having, they would have been even more discouraged, even more impatient that the promise that they had been given was not being fulfilled in the time in which they thought it should be fulfilled. Looking to Sarah and Abraham then as examples of patience in waiting for a promise to be fulfilled was a good choice, because while they lived to see the birth of their son Isaac as the beginning of the fulfillment of their promise, the entire promise would not be complete for generations after their death. And in the first half of this episode, we talked about, imagine bringing that promise into the modern day and knowing that you would have to wait. You would not see it. Even your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren would not see the fulfillment of that promise. Excuse me. And actually, we do know what that's like a little bit, because if the communities of the Hebrews, during the time of the Hebrews was written, were expecting Jesus to return, here we are, 2,000 years on, 2,000 plus years after Jesus' death and resurrection, we're still looking for that return. So we do have some idea what this is like, waiting for a promise, not knowing when it's going to be fulfilled. Probably not in our lifetime, we don't know. And yet we just simply have to wait with hope while continuing to do the work to which we have been called. And I really love how another commentary that I read on this passage put it. That commentary is from Brian J. Whitfield, who's the assistant professor of Christianity at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. And he describes the calling and promises of Sarah and Abraham in this way. He says, "Perhaps Abraham could still father a child, but Sarah knew her childbearing days were many, many years in the past. That is why she laughed so hard the first time she overheard their visitors tell Abraham that he was soon to be a father. That is why their son's name would be Isaac, which means laughter. His name marked God's joy in upending human expectations, a contagious joy they remembered every time that they called out, 'Laughter, you stop that right this minute,' or 'Laughter, it's time for dinner,' or 'Laughter, your mother and I need to have a talk with you.'" And he continues writing, "Abraham and Sarah also held fast to a second promise, that of land. That promise was equally impossible, for these two were wanderers, pilgrims who set out not knowing their destination. Even when they arrived in the promised land of Canaan, they lived like strangers in a foreign country, in tents, always ready to pack up and move. But they did more than hold fast to this promise. Sarah and Abraham knew that the promise of God is also a call. And so they lived out the second dimension of faithfulness, that of moving forward. They lived in tents because they were not ultimately called to the land of Canaan. That was not their final destination. The journey was part of their obedience, but Canaan was not their home. They were looking for another city, the city with foundation, not made with hands, whose architect and builder is God. They did not receive that promise in their lifetime. They only saw the promise on the horizon, beckoning, calling them onward in their journey. Because they experienced the promise as a call, they held fast to the promises of God, and they also moved forward in response to God's call. They knew that faithfulness is a form of courage that launches out into the unknown, moving into the future with God, knowing the future is God's. The beauty of Hebrews is that it reminds us to hold in tension the waiting and the working. We need both dimensions of faithfulness. We need to hold fast to the promises of God and to move forward into the future, which is God's. The power of the example of Sarah and Abraham is that their lives joined these two dimensions. In the midst of change and uncertainty, they found God constant and faithful. Therefore, they too could be full of faith, holding fast to God's promises and moving forward into that future with God. And I know that that was a really long section that I just read, but I think that he wrote that so beautifully, talking about how Sarah and Abraham knew that the promise of God is also a call. So they lived out, and I'm reading again, that second dimension of faithfulness, that of moving forward. And for me, I think this is really important. This is what we have to remember in terms of waiting actively rather than passively, because when we wait passively, that can lead to getting stuck, to not moving forward. Sometimes we get so focused on the promises that we've been given or the promises that we think we deserve or want to be fulfilled that we stop moving forward. We forget that we've been called to do God's work in the world, that we've been called to a certain place and time in the world. And when we get so frustrated, so impatient, we stop moving forward. And I think that's what this text this week from Hebrews is really trying to help us to understand by looking back at Abraham and Sarah, that we have faith, but we also move forward in that faith, in that trust. And these ideas of being prepared, not waiting passively, and having faith are actually continued in the gospel reading from Luke for this week. So we're going to transition there now, and we'll read Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And again, that was our reading for this week from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about waiting this whole episode. Both halves of this episode have been about waiting. And a lot of what we've been talking about in past episodes has been about waiting. And have you ever read those statistics? They say something like 7 years of our lives are spent waiting for various things, waiting in line, waiting for this, waiting for that. Can you really imagine just 7 years? Obviously, it's not all at once, but 7 years of our lives is spent waiting in various ways for various things, which actually seems ironic because we live in a culture that doesn't really wait well. As I mentioned in the first half of this episode, we tend to get used to instant gratification. Technology is always getting faster and better, so our lives will become quote-unquote simpler, and we won't have as much time to wait, or we won't have to wait as much. You know, interconnect connections are faster, we have cell phones, so we're constantly in contact, etc., etc. But the truth is, we still wait. We still wait for stuff all of the time, and for a variety of different reasons. Some people, of course, are more patient than others. Some situations are easier to wait for than others. And as we've discussed, and as I'm sure you've noticed, because I've said the word waiting about 8 million times, all of this week's texts have to do with waiting. Waiting for the fulfillment of the promises God makes with God's people. And these are situations that require a lot of patience. We've already talked about this in the context of Genesis 15. And then again in Hebrews 11, those were very similar texts because obviously Hebrews referenced Genesis, but also in Psalm 33, we talked about this in the first half of this episode. So now we turn our attention to this gospel reading. And before we talk about waiting, I have to tell you that I have had the song Have No Fear, Little Flock stuck in my head for over a week now as I've been preparing for this podcast. I don't know if you know that song, but Have No Fear, Little Flock, it's based obviously on the beginning of this gospel reading. And it depends on the day which part of it is stuck in my head, but it's always just a little snippet. I haven't had the entire song. So I've heard that if you have an earworm, if you sing the whole thing, it'll get unstuck from your head. So I just have to remember all of the words to have no fear, little flock. And maybe then it will get unstuck from my head. Although, have no fear is not a bad thing to keep repeating over and over to myself. There are definitely worse things to be stuck in my head. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to come back to this gospel text. We do have to take our final break, so stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we read the gospel text for this week from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and it's more about waiting and being patient. In Luke, we talk about the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises, when Christ will one day return and establish God's kingdom. That was something that the community, that the letter of Hebrews was written about. As evidenced by both the Genesis and Hebrews texts, waiting can and does cause anxiety. Jesus' counter to that anxiety is to encourage activity during the waiting, because he's talking obviously to people about waiting and about what the fulfillment of promises mean and how we shouldn't be afraid. That's what that beginning sentence said. Have no fear, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we get these descriptions from Jesus of God, first coming like the master of a household returning from a wedding, and second, God is described as coming like a thief in the night. And these two things seem really different at first when we look at them. It's hard to put these two images together. They're a little startling in their contrast, but Jesus had a way of telling stories and giving examples that were designed to startle and gain our attention. They were designed to make us perk up and say, wait, what? How is that? And then to start thinking about what he meant by these images of the master of a household returning from a wedding, or God being described as coming like a thief. So listeners to the story are encouraged to wait actively and joyously. The former image, that of the master returning from a wedding, allows Luke to emphasize a wonderful result when that master returns from the wedding. He says the master will serve the slave. If you remember in the text, it said he will tighten his belt and then he will serve those servants who have been waiting for him to return. What a joyous thing to wait for. The second image of God being described as coming like a thief, focuses the listener on waiting actively for an event, the timing of which is beyond their control. Because who can predict when someone might break into their home? You might be able to predict it sometimes, I suppose, under certain circumstances, but most of the time this is one of those things you cannot predict. And that's the way it is with Jesus' return. That's the way it is sometimes for waiting for God's promises. We can't predict the exact moment that they're going to be fulfilled in their entirety. So the response of a faithful community is to wait actively and attentively. And as I mentioned when we were talking about Hebrews, in the present day, it might feel a little odd that we're still waiting. You know, as I said, Paul's communities expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. And here we are, you know, some 2,000 plus years later, and we're still doing that waiting. How do we continue to wait, to not be afraid, to have continued faith? Luke's words that we read today still apply. We are to wait with joy and anticipation. We're to wait actively for an event for which we cannot fully prepare, but we must nevertheless always be on the watch for. In last week's text, if you tuned into that episode, you might remember that we talked about also chapter 12 in the Gospel of Luke, but we also read a passage from the book of Ecclesiastes, and they were very similar in their content, but very different in their conclusions, the different approaches of how life is to be lived. And actively or passively, in Ecclesiastes, the author declared that all life is pointless, basically. He said everything is vapor, and it just dissipates, so what's the point? Why should we even bother? But that was not the conclusion that Luke's gospel drew. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker or maybe a meme on social media that says, Jesus is coming, look busy? It's maybe funny, it's maybe sarcastic. You could interpret it as a bit on the snarky side. But if you can look at it from a slightly different viewpoint, you know that it is true. Jesus is coming, but we don't know when. In the meantime, there are things that we can be doing. It's kind of a to-do list. And this doesn't mean that we have to cross off everything on that to-do list. This doesn't mean that we have a list of things to do, and once we cross off the last thing, then Jesus will come. It also doesn't mean that we should be doing these things because we don't know when Jesus is going to come. So we're going to say, well, I'm just going to look busy at all times so that when Jesus does come, I'm going to look like I've been doing what I'm supposed to. Today's texts are about living in grace, living in God's grace. And that's why this text from Luke starts out, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then it says, "Sell your possessions, give alms." And that might seem like part of a really difficult to-do list. Things that we don't want to do, selling our possessions, giving to charity, giving our time, helping our brother and sister, those things can sometimes be difficult for a lot of different reasons. But if we listen to the word and we take part in the sacraments, we know that this is about word and sacrament. It's not just checking things off of a to-do list. It's about the waiting for God's good pleasure to actually give us the kingdom and what we are called to do during that waiting period. It is about word and sacrament. So when we listen to the word and we take part in the sacraments, we know exactly what we are being called to do. We're called to give away our possessions, give alms, and those are the results of living out the word and sacraments in our daily lives. These are the sub-items on the to-do list that are listed under the categories of word and sacrament. Sacraments are the tangible signs of God's grace. They're the signs that we can actually touch and taste and feel and smell, etc., of God's grace, which we can't see so easily. And because we have been given that grace, we are now free to go out and share our own good gifts with others. As we've been seeing over and over and over these past weeks, if we've been traveling with Luke through this gospel, Jesus simply calls us to love God and to show that love in loving our neighbor. This is how we spend our waiting time. Part of waiting is knowing that eventually, yes, Jesus will return. God's kingdom will be established. God's people will always be judged by how we treat our most vulnerable neighbors. However we choose to do this is one way of waiting attentively, taking care of the vulnerable in our society, loving our brothers and sisters, because God comes like a thief in the night. And I think that simply means being surprised by God's presence. If we knew when God was coming, we'd be ready, and we'd make our waiting look as active as possible, whether it really was or not. But since we don't know, we just have to be prepared for God's presence at any time. The good news about waiting is maybe somewhat surprising. God is present at any and every moment in the people around us. And when we can recognize God in other people, we'll be able to recognize God in the future when God comes to bring us the kingdom, when God comes and establishes God's kingdom. We don't know when that will happen. We don't know when Jesus will return, when God will bring God's kingdom, but our waiting is to be joyful and our waiting is to be active and productive. We're encouraged to have faith in our waiting and not to be afraid because God keeps God's promises. It's not always easy to manage that fear, to live in doubt and wonder and questioning about when the timing is going to be right. But I think that's another reason that we are supposed to be active and engaged in our relationship with God, because the more we engage God with those fears, with our doubts, with our questions, the less afraid we are likely to be. And then that engagement also helps us with the waiting and the patience. This is why our waiting isn't to be idle. We're reminded throughout Luke to love our neighbor as an expression of our love for God and to see God in everyone around us. Taking this approach to waiting might just make the waiting seem a little less tedious. You know, when you're waiting for something really exciting, if you have something to do, it can take your mind off of that. But also, if you're actively engaged in taking those fears, those doubts, those questions to God, like Abraham does over and over in his example, Abraham doesn't pull any punches. He asks the questions that he needs to know the answers for. And we're encouraged to do the same thing. Take those fears to God. Take those questions to God. Take those doubts to God. Don't just sit in your own frustration and your own passivity, but be actively engaged in your relationship with God. And may your waiting be joyous. And may God's presence surprise and astound you in that waiting. And that's all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you, as always, for joining me as we discuss the readings from Hebrews 11 and Luke 12 that were assigned for the week of August 8th, 2016. I hope you'll join me again on Saturday when we cover the Old Testament texts from the lectionary cycle for next week, the week of August 14th. Those texts are from Jeremiah chapter 23 and Psalm 82. Remember, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download all of our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, and Instagram. You can find us on Twitter at @GSMC_Bible Study, and we'd love to hear from you. So, as always, thank you for joining me, and remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God.